welcome to Treasures of Truth, a daily broadcast from Monday through Friday where we encourage you to come and study the Bible with us. Treasures of Truth is a ministry of Treasure Valley Baptist Church in Meridian, Idaho. Your host is Pastor Rick DeMichael. This week, we've been airing a message on the subject of the deceitfulness of sin. Sin has deceived modern culture so successfully that many behaviors identified by the scriptures as wickedness are now promoted as virtues by mainstream society. However, God's Word still holds out the principles that will help us identify and properly deal with sin in our lives. We pray that today's message will be a blessing to you. Today we're offering a book which Pastor DeMichael has written on the subject of abortion. If you would like to order the book or a CD of today's message, stay tuned until the end of today's program for a phone number and address where you can order either or both. And now your host, Pastor Rick DeMichael.
Thirdly, if you'll take your Bibles and go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 34. John chapter 8 and verse 34. The Bible says, "And Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Sin will deceive us about its control. It'll deceive us about its control. I remember when I was a kid and we'd go to carnivals. I don't know if they still have them. It's probably been deemed unsafe and they're probably outlawed. But you remember those little finger baskets? Are they still legal? Yes? You can still get those? That's amazing. I'm sure they'll outlaw them eventually. But remember those little finger baskets? And the further you would stick your fingers in there, the tighter that thing would get, the harder you tried to pull it out. That's the way sin is, folks. That's the way sin is. It will deceive you about its control. Jesus said in verse 34, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you," Jesus is emphasizing this, "whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Two little kids were in the kitchen banging away on pots and pans and making all kinds of noise. And the one little kid said to the other kid, "I sure wish mom would come in and make us quit this racket." The Bible says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about vices that we commonly understand as vices, or how about this one? How about pride? How about arrogancy? How about pride of race, grace, and face? How about gossip? How about gossip? You know, some people, they don't smoke, they don't chew, and they don't hang with those that do, but look out for their tongue. A lady who was a terrible gossip in the church came forward one day and said to the pastor, "Pastor," she got under conviction after the message. She said, "I just want to lay my tongue down on the altar." And he said, "Ma'am, I'd like to let you do that, but this altar is not big enough." We say, "I can handle it. I can handle it." Folks, any sin is habit forming. Aren't we all the exception to the rule? Hey, I know that if you fool around with certain sins, just the way you're put together, you'll fall flat on your face. But you know what? I'm different. I can handle a little bit of it. I know when to stop. I know where to draw the line. I can handle it, right? Isn't that why we got little pet sins that we just sort of harbor and we nurture and we nurse along for a while? You know, nobody just rolls out one morning out of bed and decides to become an adulterer. You know, when David committed that sin that cost him and his family and the people of God and the kingdom so greatly, I guarantee you, he had been up on that rooftop before and he knew at what time to go and what he would see. And he didn't go to battle when he should have gone to battle because he had ideas today to fulfill some thoughts he had had for a long, long time. And folks, that's the man of whom God said he was a man after God's own heart. Now, folks, if sin could do that to him, it can do it to us. Don't deceive yourself about the control that sin can get in your life. You know what the good news is? That righteousness is habit-forming as well. Some of you here are in church this morning. Let's just be honest. Now, most of you here, you're just excited about being in church and you can't wait to hear the message and you love the singing and you love the fellowship and the thing you like the best is putting money in the offering plate. But there's some of you that probably came here this morning and we've all been there from time to time out of habit. You really didn't feel like going to church. But you know what? You shouldn't wait to do right until you feel like doing it. You just do right because it's right. And it'll eventually feel the way it should feel. But you know why some of you came to the church this morning? Because you're in the habit. Do you know what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a good habit. You know why some of you, you get halfway through the day, and if you haven't spent some time reading the Word of God, you feel like something just isn't right. You know why that is? Because you're in the habit of reading the Word of God. That's a good habit. And you know what? You can take bad habits and replace them with good habits. But don't deceive yourself about the control that sin can take in your life. We can get deeper and deeper and deeper into the sin pattern, and it can be almost imperceptible. Such was the tragedy of a young man in Georgia at Stone Mountain, the largest boulder in the world. Atop the mountain, the young man walked unsuspectingly along, oblivious of the gradual and almost imperceptible downward curvature of the dome-like mountain. Suddenly, he became aware of the fact that he was powerless to retrace his steps back to safety. He had gone to the point of no return. Frantically, he cried, "Help! Help!" And his piteous plea was to no avail. Horrified spectators saw him hurtle to his death below. Or as one man said, most of us spend the first 6 days of the week sowing wild oats. Then we go to church on Sunday and pray for a crop failure. In 1982, ABC Evening News reported on an unusual work of modern art, a chair affixed to a shotgun. It was to be viewed by sitting in the chair and looking directly into the gun barrel. The gun supposedly was loaded and set on a timer to fire at an undetermined moment within the next 100 years. The amazing thing is that people waited in lines to sit and stare into the shell's path. You say, what is that? How many of you are old enough to remember back in the 60s when the Surgeon General said that smoking could give you cancer? How many of you are old enough to remember that? You know what I remember about that? I remember my dad quit smoking after they found that out. I remember the brand of cigarette he smoked. He smoked Cools. And he quit after that. I read an article the other day that suggested that the more they find out that smoking can harm you, this present generation we're looking at now is more emboldened to smoke, and that the rate of smoking is actually up in this present younger generation, the more dangerous it's deemed. You know what I call that? I call that the Samson complex. Do you ever think of Samson as a gambler? Do you ever look at Samson as someone who thought he could defy the consequences of sin? Do you ever look at Samson as one of those guys that if it was dangerous and it could blow up in his face, he wanted to get as close to it as he could without it actually happening because he was strong and he could control it and he could handle it. But let's not kid ourselves. Listen, when sin gets a grip on us, it gets a terrible grip on us, and sin will deceive us about its control. Deal with sin when it's a small issue in your life. Make mountains out of your molehills of sin in your life. Wear out a path to the altar if you have to. Have a hair trigger repentance mechanism, because sin will deceive you about its control. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin creates a sort of callus on our conscience. The more we're in contact with it, the more we rub, the more the callus is there, the more we say, I don't feel it, I don't see it, I don't worry about it. And things that we used to recoil from and be horrified of in previous days and years are now acceptable to us, and we embrace it in our bosom. But we're playing with fire. Sin will take you farther than you intended to stray. Sin will cost you more than you intended to pay. And sin will keep you longer than you intended to stay. And lastly, if you'll take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 4. You say, what kind of sin are we talking about this morning, preacher? We're talking about all sin. We're talking about all sin. We're talking about sin that everybody would agree is sin. We're talking about sins of commission. We're talking about sins of omission. We're talking about sins of the saints. We're talking about sins of the sinners. We're talking about vice. We're talking about things that hide under the guise of religion. All unrighteousness, the Bible says, is sin. And lastly, sin will deceive us about its cure. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and look at Ephesians 4 and verse 17, if you will, please. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Lastly, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Folks, verse 18 is talking about people that have IQs that you and I can't even see from where we're standing. Are you listening to me this morning? This is not an issue of intelligence. This is not an issue of strength. This isn't even an issue of character. Verse 18 is talking about the strongest, the smartest, and the best among us, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, who being past feeling, the callous has developed to where they no longer feel it. Are you listening to me? Who being past feeling. Don't ever get to the place of being past feeling. Do you know why some Christians quit walking with God? They want to join the rest of the world. They want to be past feeling.
We want to thank you for being with us today. It is our hope and prayer that today's program is truly a blessing to you. You've been listening to a message on the subject of the deceitfulness of sin. As Pastor DeMichael has shown us from the Word of God, sin can deceive us about not only its causes and effect, but most importantly, its cure. This week's message is a sobering reminder of the adage, you may be playing with sin, but sin is not playing with you. If today's message has caused you to recognize the deceitfulness of sin in your own life, we encourage you to look to Jesus Christ for deliverance.
And as we mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, this week we're offering an excellent book which Pastor DeMichael has written entitled, Abortion, Come Now and Let Us Reason Together. The book presents a strong case against abortion based on both scriptural and scientific arguments. The book is free to you, and today's message on CD is available for a suggested contribution of $5. Our address is Treasures of Truth, care of Treasure Valley Baptist Church, 1300 South Terry Avenue, Meridian, Idaho, 83642. Our phone number is area code 208-888-4545. Our webpage address is www.tvbc.org. Treasures of Truth is a ministry of Treasure Valley Baptist Church. We welcome you to our services on Sunday at 9:15 a.m. for Sunday school, at 10:30 a.m. for morning worship and preaching, at 5:45 p.m. for Bible preaching and teaching, and also on Wednesday at 7 p.m. for more Bible preaching and teaching.